Welcome to the Vlogpastors Podcast, a podcast all about the stories and strategies of sharing God's love in the digital world. Now, here are two pastors that love to put a camera in their face and walk around in public. They are the Lewis and Clark of digital ministry, Jared Brown and Joshua Verwers.
Welcome, I'm Joshua Verwers.
And I'm Jared Brown, and this is episode 86 of Vlogpastors.
And you're catching us live on all of the interwebs of whatever platforms we're on, so make sure that you follow or give a subscribe, and don't forget to leave a rating or a review, because apparently that's supposed to help us out in some way, even though we haven't figured out how.
And if you want to help influence the conversation, you can hop on live every Wednesday, 10:30 Central Time, God's time, to, you know, shape it.
That is correct. And we have established with full certainty, based on the hit movie Field of Dreams, that Central Time is God's time, because this is Iowa, also known as heaven.
That's an awesome movie. Nice reference.
It is, I guess, so good.
Is that required watching for, what are y'all, Iowaskan? That wouldn't be it.
Iowans. Yeah,
just Iowans. Okay.
I don't know as it's necessarily required watching, because if I would think required watching, I would think, okay, it's got to be films that are about Iowa or took place in Iowa. And I think the three prominent ones would be Field of Dreams has to be at the top of the list.
Oh, yeah. Number one.
But then people are going to say Bridges of Madison County. Although I have I like it, but I have a hard time saying Bridges of Madison County when it's a movie based on a fair.
Yeah.
But
that's our movie.
And then I think maybe the best one should be the State Fair. Because our state fair is the best state fair.
No, so
don't miss it. Don't even be late.
I went to sell this. For those of you who don't know, Joshua and Diana, thank you, my love, are floating water hand on this end.
Floating water hand.
Diana and Joshua are trying to get together. And anyway, we're all trying to get together, trying to do a meetup kind of a thing so we can hang out and see each other in a few years face to face. And the invitation is to, it's been that long.
Has it been four years?
Yeah, it's been something like that. Anyway, we're going to meet up in Iowa, hopefully, Lord willing, sometime in the very near future. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to talk my introverted wife into getting out of the house, leaving her homestead and going somewhere. And one of the pitching points was, Joshua goes, hey, there's the state fair, the Iowa State Fair. And he's talking all about fried foods, which she's obviously not going to be interested in. But so here I go. I'm just going to pitch it.
How about a turkey leg?
So I'm throwing this at her. And she's like, we have a state fair as well. Like,
it's not the same.
It's huge. I'm sure it's bigger because everything is bigger in Texas. It is bigger in Texas. So everything is fried beyond belief. We want a turkey leg. Have you seen Texas turkey?
But see, here's the difference. It's like saying that Coca-Cola is fine because, it's Dr. Pepper, right?
But listen.
The Iowa State Fair is Dr. Pepper to the Texas State Fair's Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Nope. We established. So we're here. We have a movie that says that it is the best state fair.
If they focused in on the core. Maybe. Like, if you were like, hey, this is what it is. If you want to go to a state fair, it's about the corn.
Do you have?
No, I don't even want to know.
A life-size butter cow sculpture?
No, we have a cowboy that's like three stories tall, and he wears real, like, Wrangler denim jeans. Several stories.
Oh.
This guy with his jeans.
That's,
do you have one of those?
That's intriguing. No. But we have a cow made out of butter, which is just hilarious.
Let me just say, you walk up and carve out a piece?
It's like, no. It's behind a glass case so you can't mess with it, and it's cooled and chilled. Because it's got to be there for like 10 days at the state fair.
I got you. I just figured like every so often, like it was a constant ongoing butter. That would be pretty cool. Go up there and like carve off the tail, put it on your.
No, but I just think it's hilarious that there's a cow made out of cow. Which to me is just hilarious. But yes, corn
the golden calf.
Is definitely. Oh, and the corn up here. Oh, come on. Corn is so good.
Corn. See, this is your market.
Peaches
right
and cream. Dustin.
Okay.
Dustin's here. Dustin. Peaches and cream corn. Right? right?
Per capita, mm-hmm. Iowa is the largest what?
I think state fair.
Oh.
Like, it's because it's a smaller area, but yeah, Texas just has more people.
Sure. Okay.
Diana saying, howdy, gents. And yes, fried corn for the win. I have seen the life-size butter sculpture, and it is impressive.
Okay.
It's impressive.
Was just saying, Diana, if you just hopped on, I was unable to turkey sell leg. Jesse on it.
Okay. Turkey leg. Like, it's massive. It's the size of your face. It's a turkey leg.
And you just
gnaw on that thing. You go caveman style, walking around.
Yes.
Now, I will say that for... Dustin is saying average. He was saying average for the Iowa sweet corn is the best sweet corn. And if you say otherwise, Dustin, you have been in the South way too long and something, the heat has fried your brain or something. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Or maybe he's just trying to pick on me because we have established 2 weeks ago that I'm mom's favorite.
Episode 84.
At about, what was it, 22 minutes?
Oh, it was early on. It was early on. I mean, I got she just threw it down.
Timing, 25 minutes and 34 seconds. Yeah, so now for an introverted person.
Needs more convincing.
And me having done a little bit of dabbling with personality types and understanding that and learning that and whatnot. The Iowa State Fair could be very difficult for said introverts. However, there is like Senior Citizen Day. Which there's fewer people that go there. It's a lot of the older folks. And the best part about the state fair is if you get there early, like when it first opens, there's not as many people. But in a small area to have like hundreds of thousands of people walking around the whole time. And it's kind of tight.
Diana apparently has been, so, I mean, it can be done. I need more selling points. I need more pitches here because everything you've told me so far, I can get 2.5 hours down the road. Except maybe not the butter sculpture of the cow. That's pretty cool. Okay.
Everything saying that you can get, I can get a half hour down the road is like saying I would like a Dr. Pepper, but you know what? There's a Coca-Cola right here. So I'll just have that because it's the same thing.
Do I drive 14 hours for the Dr. Pepper? Because
I think technically it's only about 11
or something. Okay.
Although I guess with potty breaks, it's probably 14. No, there is no substitute. The closest substitute to Dr. Pepper is Diet Dr. Pepper.
It's Dr. Pepper or death. Okay, let's get it right here.
Exactly. Dr. Pepper Zero is like a one-to-one equivalent. What? Have you had the Zero?
No.
Are you serious?
No, I am a purist. No, I will not be having the Zero.
Please do me a favor because you are in Dr. Pepperland.
Here's the rub.
You're in Dr. Pepperland. I mean, Dublin. Like I am Dr. Pepperland.
The epicenter.
So you are in the epicenter. I would love for you to just do a blind taste test, but you can't just do Dr. Pepper and Dr. Pepper Zero. Do Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper Zero, and Diet Dr. Pepper. I guarantee you'll be able to tell a difference. But I am 95% sure that there will be a moment of pause and hesitation before you lock in your final decision and be like, wait, was that or was that not? The zero sugar Dr. Pepper is that close.
Okay. While I'm excited because you're excited about it, I have to enter into the confession booth. Okay.
If you say that you the current Dr. Pepper brand better than the Dublin Dr. Pepper brand, I'm going to smack you like a bad, bad donkey.
Here it comes.
And we'll get monetized for it.
I have to admit that I created a bit of an addiction with Dr. Pepper in previous years. Okay.
Yeah.
So
you've refrained?
For my current year that I'm in births,
you've which abstained? Are many.
Yes. I have abstained from drinking the Dr. Pepper. I am over 6 months, nearly on my 7th month into abstaining. If I had one right now, I would cave hard and drink the rest of the year solid Dr. Peppers. I'm just going to confess.
I rescind my previous statement and encouragement. Please do not do it because I am a pop addict. And when I get one, I go on, like, I'll buy them 12 packs at a time, and those 12 packs might last me maybe 2 days, and that's pushing it. It's more likely just a day. So anytime they did like the 4 for $12 thing, it was like, yep. Oh yeah, I'm getting all of them. Yep. And I just get me a mason jar and put 2 cans in at a time. And then just, yes. So that being said,
I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. I wouldn't be able to tell the difference right now. Right now I'd be like, that tastes delicious.
Fine. Yeah. You would. So if you haven't had it for 7 months, I guarantee if somebody gave you a Dr. Pepper Zero, you would not know it was a zero sugar one. Yep. That is how close it is. And I too would like to consider, even though I'm from Iowa, I too would like to consider myself a Dr. Pepper purist. Before they shut down the whole Dublin production of that, what that was like, we 10 got years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before that, a friend of mine, Scott, he would go down to Texas every couple of years and he would be bringing them back. Just to go down to Dublin to make sure that he could get them. So yes. And there is a difference between Dublin Dr. Pepper and Dr. Pepper.
Let me tell you this about that. Having been off of, because even living in the epicenter, it is hard to get, even in Dublin, Texas, it is hard to get Dublin Dr. Pepper. That's how much they've been beaten back. And that's a town the size of like 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. So that's what's being said there. Right there.
Which
so
is ridiculous that you got this conglomerate, this huge company that is trying to shut down this small one. Why? Because they felt threatened because
Dr. Pepper was better. But whenever you've been on the other one, whenever you've been on the mainline one and you have the Dublin one after a long, well, what do they call it now? Dr. Cola or something. They have to be really clever about it. Whatever it is. When you try that one, 1891, whatever.
Yep.
When you try that one, you're like, oh, it's sweet.
It
hits you like, whoa. Yes.
It is very sweet. Cane sugar. It is, yeah. And the only other one that I've had that was similar is for a little while, they did Dr. Pepper with real cane sugar. And it was, the mainline brand. And it was good. But it still wasn't that good. Like it wasn't. And of course, that's just growing up and remember going with grandpa and we had stopped by the local station and there they would have the glass bottle and you pop in like, I don't know, a quarter or 35 cents and the glass bottle comes out. And so you'd get the ice cold bottle of Dr. Pepper and pop that top off and then just.
Oh, you're going to love this, Josh. Okay. When you come down to visit. Mm-hmm. When you and the gang come down, we'll go to the plant. And while the plant doesn't function like it used to anymore, you can take tours and stuff. It has a little shop on it. It's like an ice cream soda shop, old school style. Like you come up to the bar, they've got the mugs, they're iced down, that kind of a thing. You belly up to the bar and you're going to have one of those not fountain. Dublin fountain smoothie things, and they are so, dude, they will hurt you quick. Yeah, I mean, you're talking mugs this tall. Come visit. Let's rally in Stephenville. Never mind. We had limitations. I was gonna say, come on down here. Let's do this.
I mean, yeah. We'll figure that out. We'll figure something out. Diana says, I did the Ohio Corn Festival and it was a blast. Laugh out loud. Initially, I did not want to go, but when I got there, I had a blast.
She will too. We just have, I can't go, hey, you're going. I need something to sell her on. Give me something. Hello, Augie.
Augie's sitting there saying hello. He says, Dr. Pepper is different in areas like it's bottled by Coke, Pepsi, 7-Up. I like the Dr. Pepper. That I get is the Coke one because it's different. Dustin says Dr. Pepper Zero is great. So is Wild Cherry Pepsi Zero or the new Pepsi Zero. Yeah. A lot of the zero sugars, I don't know what they're putting in it. And I'm sure it's some type of chemical that's going to make me have like a third eye at some point in time. Yep. But you know what? I'm all for it. So it's just, although I have been good the last few days, it has been black coffee, water, with just a little squirt of mayo in it, or stir, that little like sweetener that's stevia extract sweeteners. And unsweetened iced tea. And that's it for the last few days. I've been good. Although part of that was because I had another one of those moments where I was preaching a sermon and I figured I'd probably be the best example of what not to do, and shame on me. And so I was a bad example. And then I felt conviction. And then I decided I need to do something about it. And then I went to the doctor yesterday morning and my fasting blood sugar was up and it was like, ooh, that's the highest it's been in like 8 years.
So, oh,
I mean, it wasn't astronomical, but it was high for me. It was outside of the normal range. Mm. And I was like, well, shame on me. Probably shouldn't have had that little pint of ice cream last night. Even though it was like Halo Top, so it was lower sugar, but the serving size is not the whole pint. I think there's supposed to be 3 serving sizes in there. Anyways.
I never looked.
Dustin says you didn't take me there when I visited.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that one. That is a problem. Come on back. Let's do it again.
Augie says vlog pastors meet up in Texas. Let's go.
Let's go.
I mean, part of me just wants to go anywhere where there's a Whataburger. Whataburger has moved up to as far as Kansas City right now. So
it's only a matter of time.
Like that's only 2.5 hours away. I'm thinking, come on, just keep moving up I-35. We're the next big stop. Bring it. Like it.
You're gonna love it, man.
Yep. Oh, I had it when we went to Tulsa a few years back.
Yep.
Oh,
but there's something about you might good. As well not even worry about the ice cream. There's something about having a Whataburger nearby. It's like, is that once a week? Is it twice a week? I mean, what's the limit here? Three times a week?
Once a day? I don't know. Trey Van Camp just tuning in. Am I being called out in this one?
Yeah.
So Trey, I don't know if you, I know you didn't see this, but 2 weeks ago, we're going to tell on ourselves. 2 weeks ago, you were in Cabo. And the week prior, Jared and I had pre-recorded that episode because we were both going to be out of pocket. And we thought it would just be fun to pull up random comments. And so we pulled up a couple random comments of you. But of course, you're in Cabo. And if anybody had followed you on Instagram, they would have known there is absolutely no way that you could have been commenting. And I just found it hilarious because I was driving to Des Moines and listening to the live stream and me referencing your comment. And I'm like, that's just hilarious. Knowing where you were.
Oh, yeah.
What was going on.
You were literally on a jet ski the last post I saw.
Yes, it was hilarious. You had just. Which Trey is back in. And he totally dropped a Casey Neistat copy vlog yesterday. Like 100%. 100% copied Casey. I think he even dug down to the title.
And then an exact shot for shot remake.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you recorded all of the audio in the studio. There was nothing. Your audio from your phone wasn't good. We know your tricks. No, but yes, he's like, true, but I promise I had the idea first. No, it was great. And it makes total sense. Like the way you did it and how it was done, just teasing you, but It was good. It was really good. I enjoyed it.
That's the worst when it fires at the same time and you're like, I promise.
Yes, I promise.
This was not a copy.
Yep. Well, and there are so many, and that's the other hard part, is there's so many common elements that we as humans have. Like we're doing the same thing. Ecclesiastes tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. It's not like there's actually an original idea out there. It's all inspired by something. But even in thinking about that inspiration, it's just one of those when you drop a video and somebody else drops the video at the same time, or in Trey's case, it's like he probably planned it. Knowing Casey, as far as like what he's told us online, and you listen to interviews and you watch his stuff, no, I'm confident that Trey had started recording his before Casey had started recording his.
No, new theory.
Just wound up putting his in and editing it because Trey couldn't edit while he was on a jet ski.
Probably. Here's the new theory. He's part of one of those like Instagram or YouTuber like marketing clans that they have with Casey. Okay. Ooh. Right. And so they were like, here's what we're going to do in the month of June. you're going to drop this video and then you're going to say,
dropping 10 tips for marriage.
You might go find some links here and here. Collab.
Cross promotional posting while not promoting. It's just the common search algorithm.
The truth is out. You've been caught.
There is a conspiracy here. And Trey even alluded to this. He's talked about it. See, he's saying it. He said it was when we met up in NYC. He added me to the group. See?
There you go. Group chat.
Full admission right there. You see it. He admitted the curtain has been revealed. The wizard is behind it. We know what's going on.
Case closed.
So good.
It was funny though.
It was a good vlog. I like the fact that he even kind of, he's like, I promise I didn't do this with the Instagram stuff. He's like,
that was so appropriate and hilarious. Cause it was like, wait a minute, these are very close. So whatever.
And it probably needed to be said because, you know, like there's an audience out there that like, you've got your really hardcore, you know, audience members that are watching that stuff. And like, you see what's going on. And then all of a sudden it's like, they post something. You're like, no, that's like, I'm sure they got it.
Well, I'm sure there's no bleed over between Trey and Casey.
Right.
Okay. I mean, would be different audiences entirely.
Casey Neistat of pastors. I mean, I've heard that podcast. I've awesome. Heard the reference. So I'm just saying. He's like, the comment is deleted. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you know what? You may have deleted it, but Ecamm has kept it.
Ooh.
So good. All right, Jared, what else is going on aside from you making and doing things with clients and things and stuff and stuff and things?
Yuck.
Here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to steer you down another conversation, looking up at the clock and thinking that if I
got you.
Get you off track long enough, then it won't come back to what I'm supposed to be doing and not doing.
Yeah, I totally get you.
So what are you up to?
So what I want to talk about is how I failed in creating an online course a couple of weeks ago. That's what I was doing. Oh, okay. If you want me to lead them off the scent.
Yeah, I don't want to know what you were doing. I want to know what you are doing. Like, what's going on right now? Not like what was supposed to go on, but didn't actually happen.
Roger. Okay. Well, I'm kind of curious, though, because I couldn't get it done, and it kind of tripped me up for the last couple of days to weeks. You know, lots of wasted time there. You did something. You put something together.
I mean, how did you did do I?
That? Like, I mean, why don't we talk about that just a little bit?
Did I? Like, did I, though? I mean, is anything actually done?
No, not even a vlog, not even your Trump vlog. Where's your Trump vlog? Get off of this video and record whatever needs to be recorded so we can see that Trump vlog.
I have still not been able to get the right words. And any pastor...
You go into that prayer closet and, by golly, shut the door. We need
I can't
to see
get
out.
In my prayer closet. It's full of, like, boxes and extra gear and... Like, I can't get in there. Maybe I make a video about that. Like, I can't fit in my prayer closet anymore.
There's too much junk, too many distractions in my prayer closet.
The funny thing is I've actually wanted to turn that into a legitimate prayer closet. But it's just not going to happen. Because I just got too much stuff. I need to get rid of stuff. That's what I need to do. But I'm not going to
do it.
No, you need
to publish the vlog.
I can't publish the vlog. I can't publish it yet.
Well, is your brain capable, since you can't publish anything further in the vlog, can it cause a pause moment and can you shift to, I don't know, maybe an online course?
No. I don't think it can. We discussed this. Like, we discussed this. For those that don't know, here's the thing. I have been working in the last few months on an actual online course. That course is still sitting in its developmental stage. It has at least been outlined. I know what modules are what. I know what videos are what. I've even got some of the scripting that's in there. But even before this, like, I talked to you and I had talked to Diana about this, and I said, what I need to do is I need to get some content batched and not even batch recorded, but I've got to get it scheduled out to give myself about a week to 10 day buffer where I know that uploads are happening. And once that happens, then I'll be able to focus on this because I don't multitask. Like, I know people think that I can multitask because I get a lot done. I do not know how to multitask. It is not possible. I have never been able to do it. I am good at making it look like I'm multitasking, but what I'm really doing is juggling chaotically to the point that everything is up in the air and I keep throwing certain things up higher and higher and higher. So I've got more time to run around and then catch them until eventually I can't catch anymore. And then it all falls and you see me like vanish for 6 months.
So question, because Josh of old, maybe that's what that is, but Josh of old, he would disappear for about a month.
Yes.
And you would go, where is this guy? How come he's not posting? But at the end of the month, you would come out of the corner.
Correct.
Swinging, man. Like you would have 10 vlogs saved up that you've been working through. You have a new workflow so that you could create faster. And it just taken you a month to kind of get all of the cogs in position.
Yes.
Where is he or what has happened?
I think he is waiting for that right word to finish this one vlog. Because here's the one thing that actually has, I will say, happened. I've got ideas that are still circulating and floating around here that haven't vanished. And typically what happens is if I have an idea for a future video and then I get stuck on one, all of those ideas just drift away, never to be found again. And then sometimes they drift away onto like post-it notes to then be crumpled up and thrown in the trash because I just have no interest in doing them. I still have a bunch of ideas that are floating up in here. And they're still here, and there's still a desire to do them. I think part of that is because I haven't tried to jump the gun on this vlog yet. Once this one hits, then all I need is just, like, I really think once this one finally gets out, that's where the ball starts rolling, and you'll see the floodgates opening.
So this is the log jam.
This is the log jam, and it's a big one. I try to focus. I try to sit down the camera. The camera's here. I'm looking at it. I'm staring at it. And I got nothing. And then I move the camera here. And I still got nothing. And then I move it over here. And I got nothing. And then I hold it right here. And I got nothing. And just, or I start to say something. And I'll get something out. And then all of a sudden I listen to it. And the brow furrows. And it's like, that's not what I meant to say.
Yep.
What did I mean to say? Because that wasn't it. And I think the main reason is because if I were to say what it was that I've said in these recordings that will never be aired in these recordings, that will take my channel in a direction that I never wanted the channel to go. And not only that I never wanted the channel to go, that I believe God never wanted the channel to go. And I've seen some of this play out in my life in the past decade or so, that when I start to go down this path, it becomes a dangerous thing for me. So it's like, no, I can't go there. I just don't know where it's at. So like I was telling Jared before we went live, as soon as we get done here, I'm just going to set the camera there and I'm just going to set until I actually get the words. I am going to get this finished up because I can't keep setting on it. It's going on 3 weeks now, I think. It's just like, no, this has got to get out. And that's 3 weeks, even though
beautiful.
Prior to that, there were two other weeks. Now, I've got all this footage. So once this log gets removed from the jam and all of a sudden things start flowing, then all of that other footage will then be like we talked about last week. Then it'll be another vlog about the fact that I couldn't make a vlog. And what do you do when you don't have the words to say? Like, how do you say something when you got nothing to say? And see, this is even second week in a row that now we've been on the live stream and we've been talking about this. So I've got 2 weeks in a row, two footage. And we said, hey, we should just include this clip. Well, guess what? I just included this clip.
It's obviously, because we're 2 weeks in a row on the live stream talking about this silly log jam. It's not silly. It's beautiful, I think, because God will not let you go forward. Yeah. Your tongue is not loosed until you process whatever it is that is hanging it up.
Yeah.
And I hope that he continues to hold your tongue until he speaks to your heart, and then out of the overflow comes what you're supposed to say.
Yeah.
Because this is great, man. I'm like, that's why I say, just turn the camera on, because I think the nugget is coming. Maybe,
yeah.
You know, maybe you sit there all afternoon, maybe he says something, maybe he doesn't, but like, it's coming. Please document that moment of revelation where you go, oh, because I can't wait for the Trump one, but I want the one after where
right.
all of this tension, I've 2 weeks.
It's
2 weeks.
Yes. And that means that it's also going to be one of the worst performing videos that I will ever do.
Who cares?
And
make
I don't.
It the man.
Let's like, because it. It's just, it's one of those that this has to get out. And then the other dangerous part about when there's the log jams that happen, I set in my thinking process. And then it's like, so I've got channel A, channel B, channel C, channel D, and where the priorities were going to be. Now all of a sudden C and D is like, well, maybe I'm going to switch these around, and maybe I'm going to put C in the back burner and D move up. And that's where it's like, I don't know. Cause I sat there and I wonder too long. So then it's a potential for creating another jam upstream. But I got to get this.
I love it. I mean, just stealing if Trey's still in the chat or not, just like to call you used him, what the Casey Neistat of
pastors.
To say that dude came out of nowhere overnight or something like that would be doing a giant disservice to the work that Trey's put in, or to the right. work that God's put in Trey.
Yeah.
So like when Trey pops off, which I believe he already has, because come on, that dude's, you know, he's wrecking people.
Yeah.
But when he hits the fullness of what God has promised to him, that, I mean, you can see that was carved out in times like this, times like it. That we're all going through, that some of these other folks who are just, you know, we've talked about this a billion times over, but they're just taking pop culture content, or they're saying, you know, they're slamming somebody's picture up there and giving their two cents or opinions on, you know, this is Trump, look at him, let me tell you what's wrong with him, or whatever.
Yeah.
You're showing the process of what makes the servant. And I think that is way more powerful to people who are authentically in this faith journey with you, going, oh yeah, man, if especially for creators like us, it's like, oh, we've been there and we're not allowed to say it, because something about even like saying it out loud kind of helps you process where your heart's at, and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, didn't know that was there, but I guess that's there. Now I can't just say the opposite of it, because now I'm disingenuous to myself. So I need a minute to sit in this. Yep. I think it's beautiful, man. I think what he's doing is beautiful. And I think whenever that release happens for your tongue and what you're supposed to say happens,
yeah.
it's going to be like, oh, content upon content upon content, because that's just how this process goes.
Yep. And so last night I was having a definite good conversation with our Savior. Talking to him in my second prayer closet, which is known as the shower.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do some of my best thinking in there. And so I'm just kind of having the conversation. I'm like, why can't I say this? Why don't I have the right words? What are the right words you want me to speak? Where am I going to find these words? I know it's going to come from you, but I know that you also inspire me from something. So what is it going to be? Do I just need to set? Do I just need to dwell? And I got that impression, the hearing on the inner man, not like loud audible voice echoing inside the shower. Right. But that impression that I needed to go back and I actually need to listen to the prayer that we had when there was this Ooh. Group of 50 pastors. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a second. Was there something that we prayed for in that prayer that I missed and that I don't remember? And has there now been something that has played out in the last 3 weeks that is directly related to that prayer? And it's like, I need to go back and I listen to it. So that was the plan on this morning. And then we got on here. So part of the reason I'm telling you, like, as soon as we get off here, it's like, I've got stuff that I need to check out.
Please use that nugget right there. I'm just sitting there as you're talking through that. I'm like, this is it.
Right.
You know, those of us spirit people are like, that's it. That's everything. That.
And that was the thing. Like, as soon as I got that, it was like, oh, and if And then it was like, I can't remember that. Cause it's like, you know, when you get a large group of pastors, we're not all praying at the same time for a bunch of different things. You got one or two that are kind of taken over, you know, one starts off leads, may go to somebody else. And then everybody that's in agreement, shout amen. And it was just that. So it was like, I heard it. And part of it is, I think in the moment I was kind of out of it because I'm trying to pray while at the same time I've got a camera and I'm kind of in the back of the room. So I'm like lifting it above my head and trying to make sure it's kind of focused and then hold it and then hear what's going on. So I was slightly distracted in that prayer. At the time I remember thinking, oh, that was good. And that was necessary. Thinking back on it 3 weeks later, I was like, I have no idea what we said. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, if you asked me what we prayed for at church this past Sunday, I don't know. We take up prayer requests and half the time I've taken up the prayer request and somebody mentioned a prayer like 2 minutes prior. And I'm like, should have wrote that down. It was like, I don't remember. Got a dozen different requests and praise reports. And it was like, whoops. So I think there's something there. And that's where I think that we're probably looking at the logjam being cleared soon. Sooner than I anticipated. Because I was like, man, if you'd asked me yesterday morning, when is this one coming out? I was like, I don't know. November of 2025. I got no clue. Yeah. It was like, I don't know. Because it was just, I could see no end in sight. Now, all of a sudden, it was like, I feel like I got that redirection of where to go back to. And it was like, oh. And that's the hard thing, because with some vlogs, and I think those that have done a lot of vlogging, they can kind of understand this, where if you're recording a vlog, something may happen, and you may say something, but then you get distracted, you go to the next part, and then an hour later, it's like, oh, wait. What did I say back there? Because this is actually tying in with here. But how do I connect the two when I don't even remember what I said? This is one of those moments. And it's like, but I didn't even say it. And it was 3 weeks ago. So.
Oh, that's the best. this is the stuff that I live for. Because, wow, don't get me wrong. You're a clever dude. I love you, man. You could come up with something awesome to round out the story and to somewhat bring resolution to it. But this is a God work where it's like, yeah. Oh, you don't even know what it is. You're on the journey with the rest of us going, where does this, what is he going to say?
Yeah.
That recording?
Yeah, that was, it's there. It's on it. And I've got it backed up. So it's not only on the phone and it's on the ZV1 memory card, which is back behind me, and it's on the cloud. And it's on my external, like I've got it. So it's not like it got deleted. I just haven't listened to it.
Okay. Now I know so I need to listen moving, to it. Moving forward in faith, because I see Diana says standing in agreement for prayer on the log jam being cleared. Absolutely. Yep. So when that is cleared today, you go back, you listen, you then know what the Lord wants to say. The camera comes on, you let it loose, and that vlog is completed. What do you, looking at the clock here, Josh, knowing that I still have time to catch you, what do you see yourself working on in that time frame that you could possibly have been working on?
So the first thing that will then happen, because this logjam has not just held up the vlog logjam, it's held up the Bible reading channel logjam. Like, I haven't even made those shorts. I haven't done anything. It's like, this has to come out. And I've sat down and I've set up my overhead rig. And as soon as I started in on it, I was like, nope, I've got to get this. I've got to get this one out. And then I'll just sit there and think about what I was going to do. What will happen? This video comes out. The Bible reading will get caught up for the remainder of the month, which that'll take me a whopping hour. That'll be done. Then there will be, I will work on the video about the video. So the vlog about can't vlog. And Diana had asked, she's like, can't you vlog about, or Augie said that. Can you vlog the can't vlog? Yes and no. So I can't think about how to vlog the not vlog. Because when I start to think about how to vlog the not vlog, I start thinking about how to craft that story and that message That I can't do, because then my brain goes in another place and then all of a sudden it creates another jam. Basically, I've got a log here that I'm trying to clear, but I just put another log back behind it. And so I can't even get the first one clear.
His friend is sitting over here going, just press record. Let a camera run in the background while you sit, please.
So that's where, can you vlog the can't vlog? Yes. And why Jared last week, he knew that. And he's like, just use this clip. And I was like, yeah, I'll use this clip. I'll use this week's clip as well. And I've got the footage from me setting and recording. So I've got enough stuff there that there will be a second vlog that comes out. And I think that vlog needs to come out as well. So I will record, finish up the first one, get the second one going and out, get the Bible stuff going. I need to then record. I've got like two other idea for vlogs that I have to get done quickly. And one of them will be fairly quick. One will take a couple days to record it. And then if I can get all of that done within a week, I've essentially got like 4 weeks of vlogs that are kind of there. Well, one drop this week, one drop next week. I got a 2 week buffer. At that point, the next plan is to get started on my online course and to hit the recording. And here's the thing. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to create an online course.
Well, we've got one or two in the audience today.
We've got a couple in there, and hopefully we'll have others that are listening. And like I titled this one even, what was the title? E-learning and online courses for ministry. Now, we've been in the Think Media group, Sean Cannell, video creators, video influencers, all that stuff. And you know, we went to the Grow with Video Live. Sean's been talking about for years how e-learning is the fastest growing segment that is out there. And it's a multi-billion dollar. You can talk about all the money all you want. That's great, grand, and wonderful. Am I interested in the money that a online course could generate for me? Absolutely. I would be lying if I said otherwise. It is, in my opinion, a great form of digital tent making to then continue the ministry work that we're doing. Beyond that, like, and we've talked about this, we're not in ministry for the income. We're in it for the impact. And that's the thing that I think online courses can really help with, creating that content, especially in a ministry context. Like, I've done some one-on-one consulting. That's the problem. It's one-on-one. So an hour of my time is only beneficial for the hour of one other person's time. Whereas if there was an hour of my recording time, that could be to the benefit of how many? You know, it would be like the difference, in my opinion, of like, we do ministry and there are times for one-on-one stuff where we'll sit down with somebody in our church and we'll just have like a one-on-one discipleship moment where we're just kind of explaining some things and giving them a word. And then we've got our Sunday morning sermons, and all of a sudden it's one to many rather than just one to one. I think that e-learning, online course creation for ministries, can be another way of doing that one to many. Then it's just a case of, what's your ministry impact? What are you trying to do? Who are you trying to reach? And what could you do? And churches have been doing this for a while. Like, there's a lot of churches I know that they've been taking their church membership classes, you know, that for those that have like church memberships and you've got to go through this class. And there are those that are out there that it's like some of them, it's just one Sunday afternoon. Others, no, we need to go through all of these tenets to make sure that we're all walking in agreement. And so we understand that. And it may be multiple weeks. A lot of churches have just taken that stuff and put it into an online format, which then allows flexibility and freedom. So I think there's definitely some ways of doing that. We can also look at a lot of like traveling ministers that used to take their sermons and then they would sell them, you know, through CD, DVD, we're dating ourselves, VHS, cassette tape. You know, they would do that. Well, there's others that have done it even for going on 10 plus years now. Like, there's a Right Now Media, if I remember right, that they do a lot of those different teachings. It's essentially an online course. You pay a subscription fee and you get access to all of this stuff, and then you can share it. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, from a small church standpoint, there's a lot of stuff like I want my church to know and to get. And there's a lot of our doctrine that doesn't necessarily fit on a Sunday morning. Like, for me to get in and to start doing a lot of deep study on a Sunday morning, I'm going to lose a lot of people. But what would happen if our church had like an online course, paid or unpaid, doesn't matter, but something that our church could get more teaching? If they're not getting enough on Sunday mornings, what are they going to do? Well, currently what they're going to do is they're going to search the internet and they're going to start listening to other ministers and other preachers. They're going to find, they're going to fill that. They're going to feast on something. So what if I just let them feast on some of our stuff? That's where, like, I think for a ministry context, that would be huge. Now, me in my personal context, I think as if you've been around for a while, you've seen I'm a vlog pastor, which means I vlog and I pastor. I pastor like a vlogger, I vlog like a pastor. What that means, I have no idea, but it sounds good. So what I often do is I just do a whole big show and tell with my life. So I make content online, and what winds up happening is because I'm showing it, other ministers want to know, how do you do it? So then I wind up telling them about it. And it usually comes down to being in like other like Facebook groups or in the DMs, which I still get on a regular basis, people sending me a message and, hey, what do you do here? What do you do there? How do you do this? How do you do that? Have you got an idea for here? And we go back to 2019, was it? Summer of 2019, when I wound up going up to our ministry conference and I gave a message titled Social Media Simplified, and I just laid out a bare-bones, simple social media strategy of how churches could take their Sunday morning sermons and repurpose it into online content. And that was very helpful for those that were in attendance and has continued to be helpful. And to me, it's like, okay, well, back then, I thought, you know, it would be awesome if I actually packaged this in an online course. Here we are 4 years later, and I'm thinking, hey, you know, it would be awesome if I actually packaged this into an online course. Because I got friends like you and Diana that are like, dude, would you do it already? Yes.
But sometime. Yeah, I think there's still enough of a need out there for it. I mean, when we get to making these things, man, when we're narrowing down on what exactly do we have that's transferable, you know, to our communities.
Yeah.
That was kind of hard because some of these things feel like the cookies are on below the lowest shelf. They're sitting on the floor. We're spoon feeding them, not spoon feeding, we're hand delivering them to you type of a thing. But I guess there's still a demand for all of this out there, because just this week I sat down with a group of guys who were looking at Right Now Media. You just referenced them. Looking at Right Now Media, they have some teachings that they have a curriculum basically that was produced in the 90s, early 2000s. And they were looking to kind of update that and bring that into the modern era. And they had no clue as to how to do that. And I was like, let me tell you about, no, it's not ready yet. You know, it's like, well, I can't tell them to go follow Joshua Verwers for a while. And when in about, let's see, June 1st, is that when the release date is?
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be released June 1st, 2023.
June 1st, 2023, and you can travel back in time and be there live for that release date. Yeah. But no, man, I mean, that was, it's very practical. I mean, it's very relevant, still out there. I think, I don't know, obviously it needs to be created, but I'm kind of curious. You saw the need, you saw the audience, you spoke at that conference, which kind of shaped where you were going, and everything from there just kind of seemed like it fell into place for you. You're like, oh, and it's the time to sit down and record it, which I thought it was going to be a bit more intense of a project. So that's why I texted you and was like, dude, you're in it, I'm in it. You know, come up with a course for me to create, like what would be interesting for my community, and I'll make something alongside of you. and, you know, ventured down that whole journey of like learning how to do online courses. Cause all I've been a part of, I've been a part of some good ones. Shout out Trey for the time that I was there.
Yep. Trey's had the Vlog Your Ministry and the Value with Video.
I mean, solid ones, but like,
and then I think you and I have both been a part of like
hats off to that guy, by the way.
Yes. And he was doing it early on.
Early.
Yeah.
I mean, just like all, cause that's the respect I'm saying. Like he went through that. He had to cut his teeth and carve that thing out of nothing back in the days, whenever that was not a common thing. Now it's a little bit more common, but that seemed to fall into place for you. For me, not so much, man. So, I think you have something here. I think maybe you've either been a part of enough courses now that you kind of see the way that they work, or maybe that's the way that your mind works. Maybe it's just something that God has for you to do in this life, because when I went to put mine together, bro, that was tough. And I had to sit down with my wife, the professional, you know, professor, and let her school me in the art of, this is what curriculum is. This is what, you know, this is how you, I'm like, oh, it was hard. So tell me about the trip. What is it? Is it one way? Is it the other? Are you built this way? What is it?
I'm not built this way. I am not organizational at all. Anybody in my life will tell you that I am not very organized. I do like structure. I do like order. But if it is not simple, then I won't do it. If it's an overly complicated thing, I will always choose the simple route, the easiest route, over the right route. And so I've got to find that path that makes sense for me. And maybe it's just because, and I think I've mentioned this at one point in time, one of the greatest compliments, backhanded compliments, insults, whatever you want to call it, that I ever received was from my trainer in pro wrestling, who said that I was the laziest person that he had ever met. And I was like, okay. And he's like, but I mean that as a compliment. I'm like, okay, how? And he said, you will do it the fastest and simplest way and make sure that you never have to do it again. That's how you're built. You will always find the easiest, shortest path to get anything and everything done. And make sure that it's done in such a way that you don't have to come in and do it a second time, because you just don't. And I was like, so I'm efficient. He's like, or lazy. And it was just like, okay. But, and it's true. And that kind of came from this one point where, you know, we have to load up this wrestling ring and we're taking it down to Missouri and there's a Harley race show. And so he's renting out Travis's ring. We're taking it down there. We've got to set it up in the gym. He doesn't have enough people to do it, but there are going to be people that are around that could help out. Well, we're up in Algona, Iowa, Northern Iowa. We got to drive it down, like, I think 5 hours to meet up with him, 4 or 5 hours, something like that. We go up the day before and I've got all of these other wrestlers that they're starting to put the ring on the trailer. And Travis looks at me and he's like, Josh, tell him to stop. I'm like, okay, stop. Here's how we're going to do this. And so we laid out all of the 2x10s, I think is what the boards were. Lay them all out first. Then we're putting the steel cross beams on. Then we're putting on the steel turnbuckle pads. Then we're putting on the ropes. Then we're putting on the padding. Then we're putting the tarp on and strapping it down. And the reason we did it in that way is so that as it comes off, we can take the steel post, go straight in, set them up. Then the cross beams are going straight in and setting them on top of it. Then the wood goes straight in and set it on top. So that way we don't have to move something after we've taken it off. And we got down there and Harley Race was impressed, because I think we wound up setting a record of like the fastest time that one of those rings had ever been set up. And it was just shy of 30 minutes that this 18x18 ring is set up, put together, and ready to go. And that was just me thinking all the way through it. So starting with the end in mind, here's where we need to go. How can I get there the fastest and the most effective way? And that's that laziness that I've got. So with a course, like,
it's a gift of laziness.
It honestly is a gift of laziness. It's the best way to describe it. Like, it, to me, it's the best way of, I'm not going to work any harder than I have to, just the way it is. And that's always been the way I was. I was 13 years old. My first job was roofing. And they wound up talking about how, you know, it's middle of July, although child labor laws, I wasn't 13. But they're talking about how we can only work so many hours a day. And because middle of summer, you're on top of a roof, it's hot, you're miserable, you're going to get heat exhaustion, so we can't work. Like, you can't work on roofing in the summer anytime past noon. Like, that's the most you can get. And so they're like, we're going to start at 6, we'll get about 6 hours in. And my first thought was, why would we do, like, if it's going to take us, say, 20 hours to do this whole thing? So we're looking at 3 days? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, but part of the time that it takes those extra few hours is the fact that we wind up having to start and stop and then start and stop. So the first hour of the day is basically wasted, right? So if we just kind of work straight through, it would work a whole lot easier. Why don't we just get started sooner? Like, we've got lights. It doesn't have to be daylight. Why don't we just get started at, like, I don't know, 4 a.m., 3 a.m.? And they're like, well, you can't. Like, why not? Again, this is a 13-year-old talking to the foreman on this roofing crew. And I was like, why can't we start earlier? He's like, because the city ordinance is you can only do construction at a certain time. And I was like, isn't that in residential areas? I was like, this is a commercial area. And he thought about it and he called and make a phone call. And they're like, guess what? We're starting at 3 a.m. tomorrow. And we got that thing knocked out in 2 days and we were done by noon. So we weren't miserable. I'm always thinking the shortest way possible. What's going to be easy? So does this come natural to me? No. Is this, I mean, kind of, right now, I'm just getting this and I'm ready to go and it'll give me a week and I've got the whole thing ready to go. Yes, but it hasn't just been a week. Like, it'll take me a week to record it, edit, upload, and it's ready to go. But I take you back to 2019 when this whole thing started and I had the idea and I keep looking around and I keep studying and I keep researching and I keep trying to find it. I had not found the easiest method for me to do it until just recently. And that was taking multiple courses, looking at multiple courses, listening to YouTube videos, listening to podcasts, reading articles. And then I came across, what was that guy I remember sharing? Brendan Burchard. And I don't remember if I even have this in there. It was how to create an online course. Think is what it was. Podcast. Bam. Right here. Let's see if I can pull this up real fast. This one here. As you can see, it was played. So I've listened to it a few different times. I think like multiple three times. Brendan Burchard, how to create and sell online courses. And I think it was something in there. I don't know. I've listened to it probably four times and I've probably forgotten a bunch from it. But this was one that I remember listening to. And he basically said, if it takes you more than a week to get your video content recorded, you're doing it wrong. And I'm like, ooh, you're speaking my language because that sounds like the lazy man's approach. So it's like, and then in listening to it and getting an idea and then jotting a couple notes and then listening to it again and making sure I kind of understood the format of what he was saying, then it just took that, applied it to what I was planning on doing. And I had like the outline done in just a couple hours. And then I think I showed you the outline and you kind of saw where I was going with this. And then I showed Diana the outline and what she was.
She threw it out the window.
And she threw it out the window and it made sense because she's basically like, you're overcomplicating it. You're giving too much. And of course I'm thinking, I want to give them the value. I want to give them as much as they can. I'm thinking of this like, you know, a church potluck dinner. And it's like, I want to bring as much meat as I possibly can because I don't want anybody to leave hungry. I want them to be stuffed. I want them to
church
be full of it. Oh, they're so good. How about, okay, church picnic maybe?
Okay.
Church dinner.
I'll allow it.
We'll go with that.
I'll allow it.
Church dinner where the church supplies all of the meat. Oh, we're bringing a bunch of it and you're getting a ton. I would rather there be an abundance of it to where people have to take stuff home because we got too much rather than not have enough. So that's how I wanted to create the course. And Diana's like, I mean, I get what you're saying, but you're going about it the wrong way.
It was clever, but it would have required so many layers of thinking. I think it probably would have ended up in the same thing, like the Trump fiasco.
It would have.
Trumpgate. It needs its own title now.
So then,
Trump Jam.
The Trump Jam. But then, so with that, it was a case that, all right, she spoke something in, and all of a sudden, I was like, oh, yeah. And you just made it easier for me. So now I can be even lazier. So, like, nice. I have that. It's ready to go. It's ready for me to record. It's ready for me to put out there. Once I get it, y'all will know what's going on. But I can't tell you when, because it was scheduled, a loose schedule of June 1st. That obviously didn't happen.
Okay.
So maybe July or August or September.
July 1st? Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I remember ribbing you and saying, hey, man, don't you think that's a little unrealistic for your expectations? Never wanting to crush your dreams, but you go, no, I mean, I've got this thing. I'm going to record it in 1 week. And then Trumpgate came.
Which, and to be fair, when I had told you, hey, I'm going to do this and I'll have it done, I knew nothing about the Trumpgate even coming up. So yeah. I hadn't even been invited in that. That invite wound up happening, and it was like,
you were ahead at the time.
Yeah,
because then it was like, videos coming
how
out.
Am I going to do this? Because that was going to kind of be in and around where, I'm not sure. And then, of course, it just set me back. But believing that God is going to use that in such a great way that it's all going to be worth it. It's all said and done. So. As online courses and stuff, you have dabbled a little bit.
I have.
And at least not only in taking them, but in researching them and thinking about how was that for you? You'd mentioned that Jesse had a kind of.
Oh yeah. 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 You. Let me show you. I've got a little quote. So I was struggling. I hopped on, give you a little timeline. I've mentioned it, but, I'll elaborate on it here. I hopped online, started doing my research. I listened to the podcast that you sent my way. I did my own research as far as I could to go, what in the world is this all about? I just dipped my toe into this vast, vast ocean of online courses. And everybody has different opinions about how you're supposed to go about doing it. I didn't even know what the things, like how they function. What's a module? How do you find curriculum? So Jesse sits me down and she says this. And I wrote it down. I'm like, oh, wait, let me back up. What is that? And I just dug in. So she says, curriculum, okay? A curriculum is a map, okay? The objectives, I didn't know what objectives were, learning objectives and whatnot. The objectives are the starting point. Okay, outline your learning objectives. The literature, or in our case, the videos, the content, is the vehicle to get them to their destination. Okay. And the destination is the assessment of the learned concepts, meaning that they have received the information, they understood the information, and now they can effectively utilize the information, and you evaluate that at the end. And I was like, she's like, and that's basically every curriculum is the same go. Even in that, I'm like, this was worth the price of admission, because I've been stuck on this for a week going, what is curriculum? Three different people say this. And she just sits down. She's like, no, consummate teacher. Yeah. And it somehow, when she laid that out, all of a sudden things just started flowing. I outlined the objectives and started getting those in place. And you had already given me my assignment as to what I was making the course on. So it was kind of fun, because it was also in my wheelhouse of stuff that I was working on.
It was what he was working on. And then you vanished for a second.
Oh, I'm back. You again. You're good. So at certain points during the show with my connection, you will be a digital mess. You're like, what? You sound like a robot. Yeah. Anyway, you were gone there for a minute. And I'm like, eh. Refreshed.
You did the same thing. You like just completely like froze. And it was a great face of doing the.
Oh, perfect.
And then, yeah. And then you just pop back in.
Anywho, it was, it's insane. It's an insane process. I can't believe you're crazy enough to want to do that. I get that there's a financial payoff in the end, but I am taking a course right now.
Yeah.
That I think if I were to finish out mine, I'm probably going to model it more like that. What their theory is kind of like, have you heard of Alex Hormozi? I'm pretty sure you have. Yeah. Most people. Okay. Alex Hormozi's thought that if you overwhelm your client, student, whatever, with so much that you're doing, providing, you know, giving to them, they will feel a sense of, you know, reciprocity or whatever. They will feel like they've gotten their money's worth, or they will be more inclined to give you, you know, a financial payback or some sort of return on that investment. And he's basically just stack up a mountain of what you can provide and let them have it. And I'm in one of those courses right now. Mm-hmm. And it's a little intimidating, but you find yourself going, oh, this was worth it. Yeah. This was worth it. This made the whole thing worth it. You know, you're like three videos in and there's like 1500 kind of a thing. Not really, but it would be that kind of magnitude.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. So I think I'm going to, if I ever do finish this deal, I may make a run through of kind of like the basic package of what my course would look like and then kind of throw the kitchen sink at it, because I have noticed in this course that that's been something that set it apart from the other ones. They're giving you everything.
Everything, yeah.
The stuff that, and it almost makes you where you're, you know, like you want to save, I'm realizing how seemingly secretive I am about my stuff. Like what I know how to do. Right. I'm only releasing certain things because that's everything. Well, they are releasing everything, but the impression is from the receiver that they know that much more because they've given me everything. Why would they, right. Why would they do that? And so anyway, that whole exchange is like, oh my, it's stripping my gears, man. I think I'll probably do that with my course. I want to find out a way to communicate everything.
Yeah.
And make some of that upfront value hit hard. But yeah. Who knows?
Yeah,
I know yours was kind of striking. I was looking at your stuff. It's like, oh, that's it.
It's a lot. Like
that's everything.
When I was looking at it, because then even like with the bonus content that adding in on that, it's essentially just smaller micro courses. And it's like, well, it's going to be everything. You know, yeah, people will be able to pick and choose, I guess, if they want. But I'll probably have some of the mini courses for sale separately. But like there's so much in the online and the e-learning space. And here's the thing, like even when we think about this from a church standpoint, there are so many things that our church members want to know. And they're coming up and they're asking us as pastors, or they're asking other people in the church. But we just kind of, oh, it's like, yeah, here it is. And we just give them the answer.
Yeah.
And it's like, why not just create a course on that? Why not create a lesson on that even? If it's not a whole course, maybe it's just an individual lesson. And then you can put it behind a paywall. You can put it behind a membership. You can do whatever you want with it if you don't want it to be free for, you know, everyone. Or you just create like private links and then you just send them the link when they want it. There's a lot of different ways of the delivery aspect. But to me, it's like, if we would just start capturing more of that stuff and putting it down. And of course, we know this from a vlog standpoint. It's like, when we got these thoughts, let's just vlog it. Let's just share it out there, because at least then it's going to help more people. But we don't do that necessarily in a church context. And that's where I'm thinking, you know, maybe we should do more of that. So I think there's definitely a ministry application.
Absolutely.
That e-learning and online courses could have. And for any of those churches that have a more formal church membership, you know, curriculum or step, strategy, path, whatever you want to call it, if you've got that, we don't, but I know several churches that do. if there is more of that formal thing where they need to go through things, send it, you know, just put it through there. Like I was thinking about this even when I was doing several marriages. I'm like, man, I should have just created like a premarital counseling course that they could go through and watch. And then instead of me having to sit down one-on-one in person, find a time to try to meet with them or doing it online during COVID. And it was like to try to do all of that stuff and coordinate all of these times, it would have been so much easier for me to just send it through. They can watch it. And then let's get together and guess what? Pop quiz, hot shot, and make sure that you actually understood kind of the basics of this. Like there's a lot of different applications on that. I mean, even going back marriage ministry, when Dr. Mark and I were running that, we had actually looked at doing that with our online seminar, turning it into an online course. And then it just kind of fizzled.
Even if it's just for the time factor, like say you weren't going to put it up and sell it. Maybe you're a pastor who needs that. You know, they keep asking you questions and it's almost like you could duplicate or clone yourself and have all those questions go to them. And then you could just kind of check in on, it would be an additional asset. You know, what further questions are you struggling with as they're getting their base questions answered? And man, I had read this book, and this is a physical representation of what could be done digitally. I read this book, it was about fasting and, you know, that sort of thing. It wasn't a spiritual book, it was a health book. And they were talking about some of the benefits and they had gone through, you know, all of the proofing to say this is why it is good for your body. But then they took the last, you know, all the distilled information, which I believe is what courses are, these online courses. So you don't have to search the internet and it's all in one spot.
Yep.
But then they took the last couple of chapters and they did testimonials. And if you had an excuse or if you had a specific situation or if you had, hey, my body works like this, not like that. If you had like whatever your hang up was, your pain point, they just took 1,000. I would be undershooting that. 1,000 testimonies and just vroom, you just over and over and over and over and over again. And you're not going to listen to them all, but inside of those testimonials, you find that like, oh, that's me. Yep, that's exactly my issue or that's exactly my excuse. Or and I just think there's so much power to that for somebody who's gone to an online course and they're looking for something. They have a question. They have a pain point. The course distills all the information, addresses that pain point, teaches them a skill or whatever it is that it does, informs them. And then they can move forward knowing that. And if they still have any questions, like there's some sort of group or some sort of testimonial platform thing. What are you laughing at?
No, I'm just listening. I got the giggles. That was it.
What you got? No. I'm more interested in that than I am the online thing. So what you got?
No, because like what you're saying about that is like stuff that we've talked about and stuff that might be associated with some of what I'm doing.
Oh, well, that would be wonderful. I did not mean to spoil anything. Don't want to out you.
Oh, are you sure you weren't?
No, totally not. I was legitimately thinking of a book that had helped me out in a big way. And if someone, doesn't have to be you, but if someone were to build something like that into the course, I'm also, I am in an online course right now currently. As I mentioned before, that has that as well. And that has members who are in the same place that I'm at in life. Yeah. And we're bouncing the ideas off when this worked for me, this didn't work for me, this works, this doesn't. And that is just like, it's so huge.
Yeah.
So huge.
Well, and that was one of those things that I know when Trey had first done the Vlog Your Ministry course that he did, because he had the cohort. And so it was like there was that Facebook group that he had to where everybody that's kind of going through this course could kind of meet together. And there for a while we were doing, you know, through that course, it was even like a weekly Zoom that we were kind of unpacking some of that stuff. Now that's not sustainable long term, you know, for somebody that's got 15 different things that they're trying to do and doesn't do well with multitasking and just likes to juggle and let things fall. But in short-term spurts, like that type of stuff, it does work. Even if it's on kind of like a seasonal type of a rotation, because I've seen that with even other courses that I've done, where they do something very, very similar, you know, where it's like they have those type of group community chats that are going on, but it's for a certain period of time. We're going to kind of go in and dive on this. And then if you're outside of that, you can always watch those back over, or you just ask questions inside the group and somebody's bound and determined to help you out. I love courses like that. I think what I'm probably going to be putting together with this, or I should say what I will be putting together with this, is a lot of the elements from courses that I've enjoyed and I've gotten a lot of use out of, compiling it into this while remaining lazy.
This needs to be, so here's my two cents. I think remaining lazy needs to be a part of your course. I think it's something, I know, seemingly disconnected, but it's really not. Because
keep it simple.
No, because part of what you are discussing, without getting too far into the weeds, part of what you're discussing is being able to do all of these thousands of things, kind of like what you do, without it taking up all of your resources and attention.
Yeah. Without it, how do we find a simple strategy that doesn't cost me a lot of time or money?
Chapter 7, laziness. The gift of laziness.
Because I'm speaking to small church pastors like us that we understand if, one, we're supposed to do online ministry, that means somebody has to do it. And we don't have the resources of people that are willing and able to do that. So that means it's probably going to fall back on me. Or if it winds up having to fall on somebody else, then that's going to cost money. And if we were to spend money, that money has to come from somewhere. And it's not like we just got a big influx. So that means it's going to have to come from somewhere. And many small church pastors are thinking, oh, I know where that comes from. That comes from my salary or lack thereof. So how do we get more done with less is essentially what we're doing. And that is small church ministry. We're going to make the most of what we've got. So how do I get digital content, do digital ministry for my church and my ministry without it costing a lot of time and money? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it's not like we're not willing to spend money. We're willing to spend money if we know there's a return on that investment.
There's got to be a return.
And that's where, I guess, what you were kind of alluding to, if there were testimonies of people that have done similar things that are like, hey, guess what? I've done this and it works. Then that's helpful.
That is currently what I am doing. So I am in a cohort, if you will, and we're doing the work, and I'm getting testimonials from my clients to prove, one, to myself, but two, to the rest, that anybody else who comes to buy that particular product, that it works.
Yeah.
It works. And are you going to be mailing any of that out? Are you going to be sending it to select ministers to try the program? I hope to be one of them, to be considered.
Yeah.
So that we can say, hey, that works.
Yeah, I'm probably looking at like, here's my biting off more than I could chew timeline. It would take me a week to edit, upload, get it ready, let's say for the rough draft of it. And then if I could get some select ministers to look it over and give them kind of a week to kind of scan through the majority of it, they won't necessarily be able to go through all of it in a week, because this is going to be a lot of content, but at least to kind of see the organization, the structure, at least get through one of the modules, knowing that the other four are going to be similar in that, in the breakdown and the layout of it, and then get any feedback from them to understand, do I need to make revisions on this or not? Then maybe another week for that, so possibly a 3-week total time frame on it. Once the logjam gets cleared, but yeah, there'll be, I don't know, half dozen or so that I send it to and say, hear what you think. And then kind of go from there. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's taken me, I think the first time I watched that, listened to that episode, that Spotify episode, I think it was like February when I listened to it. So it's not like it's, once I got some of the clarity, I mean, it's taken a bit to get me around to this point. But who knows? I like biting off more than I can chew. Apparently I got a big appetite.
Wait to see what happens. Today with the log jam freeing up.
The log jam.
You've got a word. This is.
Yeah.
Oh, this is huge.
It's gonna be interesting. If I were to give a realistic time frame of when I think that this course though could come out, I think I'm probably looking at more like August than July.
I think that's about right. By the time you
sands. Yeah, I got to get some that is kind of some stuff scheduled for the rest of the content, so I'm not just gone for another month and a half, and then this stuff sent out and going. But as far as the workflow goes on how to record that and what it's going to look like, oh, that's set up and that's ready to go. So that's where I'm like, I can get this all recorded in a week easy. That's not a problem at all. And the edit is going to be super simple on it because none of these are really big sections. Like, it's not like I'm sitting down in front of the camera for 2 hours and coming with lecture fatigue. So, at least I don't think so. Who knows? We'll see. Anything else you want to add to the topic at hand, online courses, e-learning for ministry?
No, I really don't. I'm glad that I dipped my toe in that water. I don't know that I will finish it. I might. I hate to see an idea that was fleshed out that far go to waste. But I like learning. I'm the exact opposite of your, what's it called? Lazy method.
Yeah.
I'm one of those. I'm going to exhaust through all of the options and make sure I've learned it entirely and thoroughly. And then I'm gonna put my nose to the grindstone and do it. So I think I'm gonna hang on to that at least for now. And keep blazing. I'm going to watch yours with great anticipation and see how your life and ministry is affected or not, or thrives or suffers or whatever by it, because that's a huge undertaking. I don't think I can overstate, whatever it is, enough about how big this is.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into it. And for the Dianas and the Treys and those guys who have done this before, hats off to you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm probably doing it. They come in and go, I wish they would have done this. I wish they would have done that. That's what it is as a consumer. But for somebody who's going through the steps, you're having to think of every avenue, what the questions might be at this juncture, what they could possibly be struggling with, and all the stuff that you've already gone through, and you have to recall all of that and played it up in a way that is interesting.
And that's one of the hard things, is that to recall what it was like. I'm making something that I wish I had day one when I started, or not even when I started. I wish I had this when I thought I was going to start. Like, for me to get into the digital ministry space, this is what I wish I had. And if I had had this, it would have been immensely helpful. If I don't feel like it's immensely helpful, it's not ever getting published. Right. And I think, at least looking at my outline and where we're going with it, it is what I wish I had. Now we'll just see how that conveys and coming across. And it's hard, because then I sit there and I think, okay, yes, Diane is right. Keep it simple. Go back, strip it back. Basics. This needs to be practical. It needs to be something that they can actually act on and implement to see the results of it. So it's like, okay, I've got to redial that. But that's me going back 5 years and trying to put myself in the mindset of where I was 5 years ago. And I was like, what were the questions I was asking? What was I trying to find out? What were my struggles? Where are my pain points? But then, fortunately, I do have others that throughout the last 5 years, and even still today, that are asking me these questions. I'm just now starting to write them down and be like, oh, that's a good one. I need to remember that and write that down. It's like, I got to answer this somewhere. And then I, for a ministry context, like a church wanting to create some type of a course for their congregation, again, where's their pain point? What are they thinking about? What are they struggling through? Here's my number one recommendation that I think every church should do. This is something that I've thought about doing for our church. I probably will wind up doing it for our church. And then in a meta way, I will probably create another little course, how to make a course for a church. It'll be a micro course or a mini course. But what I will be doing for our church is a essentially a marriage course. I think that every church should do that. There is so much attack on marriage and on the family, and they need to hear from their pastors. They need to hear from their church leadership on that. And there's a lot of information out there. Some of it's excellent. Some of it's good. Some of it's garbage. And if it's somebody in your church that doesn't know where to turn and where to look, they may be turning and looking in the wrong way. And it's hard. It is so hard to preach a series on marriage. Like, to do one sermon on marriage, you're doing the understanding and the biblical knowledge that talks about marriage and what needs to go with marriage a disservice, because you can't get it wrapped up in one sermon. And then if you do an entire series on it, well, how many people are in your church are actually married? And some of it's not going to be real relatable to some of them currently, but it will be. So I think doing some type of a marriage course for churches would be huge, to do your own little thing and then be like, here you go, and just put it out there, which is essentially what I'll wind up doing for our church, and taking that marriage ministry seminar that Dr. Mark and I did, and then just doing it and be like, here, this is for our people. Enjoy it. Have fun. And I suppose if I wanted to make money, I could put it out there for other people, but eh, see, I'm not sure I want to be known as a marriage guru. We'll let him go over and watch Trey's 10 tips for marriage on that.
There it is. Full circle. I love it.
Full all circle. Right. I think that's all we got. We better get out of here, Jared. Otherwise, we're going to keep talking. Got any questions for us, comments, topic ideas? There's a link down in the description where you can leave us a voice memo over on Spotify. You can also just catch us on any of our profiles on the social accounts. Links are down in the description. And until next time, stay blessed, enjoy God's best, have a fantastic week.